Thanks to Richard for leading the singing, to Daryl for the good prayer, and each of you for coming this afternoon. We're glad you're here. We've got to be grateful that God has spared our lives down to this moment, that we might come together in the house of the Lord to sing, to pray, and to study, and we're glad you're with us today. Our text of study comes from Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You might underscore in verse 3 where Paul said that a man ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There are two dangers here. One is folks not thinking enough of themselves. There are those who have little confidence in themselves, and so they think too little of themselves, and that's a danger. They don't have enough self-esteem. But then there's the danger of having an inflated view of oneself, thinking too highly of oneself. And that's what we have in mind as we talk this afternoon about some who thought too highly of themselves. There are several throughout the pages of divine inspiration that thought too highly of themselves, and I call a few of those to your attention. The first one that I suggest to us that thought too highly of himself is the Pharisee of Luke chapter 18. In Luke 18, beginning in verse 9, the Lord spoke a parable unto those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here are folks who were self-righteous and looked down upon others. Here's the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." When you make your study of those who thought too highly of themselves, you have to include in that number the Pharisee of Luke 18. Here's a self-righteous man. Here's a man that despised others. Notice the difference between his prayer and the publican's prayer. The publican would not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did you notice in the Pharisee's prayer any mention of sin? Did you find one sin that he confessed? He thanked God that he was not as other men. And can you see him boasting of his righteousness? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And pointing the finger at that publican and saying, I thank God I'm not like this man. He needed a good dose of humility, didn't he? And yet there are people today who act like they've not done a thing wrong. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. And so we should say, Father, forgive me. But as you make your study concerning some who thought too highly of themselves, another example would be the elder brother of Luke chapter 15. We're familiar with the story that the Lord told of the lost son, how he came to his father and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the generosity of the father is seen in that he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son took his inheritance into a far country and wasted his father's substance. Things got so bad that he would have filled himself with what the swine, the hogs, were eating. But no man gave unto him. He came to himself and he resolved to go home and say to his father, I have sinned. And he did that. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Luke 15:21. Now, in verse 25, notice the attitude of the elder brother. When, as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, listen to what he said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Did you notice his attitude? He had the attitude that he had never disobeyed. Can you imagine making such a statement as he did? I've never transgressed your commandment. You never gave me. And he didn't even have the humility of mind to refer to his brother as his brother. But he said, as soon as this thy son was come. Do you know anyone save Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has not disobeyed the Father's will? And yet he said, never at any time have I transgressed. Here's a man that needed some humility, didn't he? He thought too highly of himself. Another example of an individual who thought too highly of himself would be the rich man of Matthew 19. In Matthew 19 and in verse 16, the Lord encountered an individual who came to him saying, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He came to the right person and he asked the right question. I can't think of any better question to ask than to ask, What shall I do that I may have eternal life? The Lord answered in verse 17, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at what the young man said. All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Notice, the rich man acted as if he had kept all the commandments. Do you know anybody that has kept all of the commandments? This man was lacking. As the Lord said, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Here's a man that needed some humility, didn't he? Thinking too highly of himself when he said, All these have I kept. But then as you make your study of some who thought too highly of themselves, come over with me to the book of Acts and the 10th chapter. In Acts 10, we meet up with a good man by the name of Cornelius. He was a good moral man. He was a devout man. He was a God-fearing man, feared God with all his house. He was a benevolent man, gave much alms to the people. He was a praying man as he prayed to God always. He was told to send for Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And so he is a lost man, even though he was a good man. It took some miracles to get him and Peter, a preacher, together that he might hear the gospel. It took Cornelius seeing a vision. It took Peter falling into a trance. And the purpose of that trance was to convince Peter, a Jew, that he needed to go to the Gentiles. The apostles had been commissioned, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. But they'd been going to the Jews only. And in Acts chapter 10 and in verse 9, as Peter on the housetop about the sixth hour, about noon, became very hungry, would have eaten. While they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him. Notice what the voice said to Peter. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. How'd he answer? Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. You might underscore when Peter said, not so, Lord. Can you imagine saying, not so, Lord? You know, there are those today who, when the word of the Lord comes to them, maybe you teach somebody what the Bible has to say, and you point out their responsibilities to the Lord, and they'll in essence say, not so, Lord, that they're not going to do that. Those who would answer the Lord, not so, need some humility. We think too highly of ourselves. When we say, not so, Lord, may it never be that when it comes to things the Lord says do, that we're not going to answer, not so, Lord. But we'll have an attitude of humility that whatever the Lord says, that's what we're going to do. But as I got to thinking about some who thought too highly of themselves, there's another character that came to mind. And that is in the book of 3 John, when we read where John writes under the well-beloved Gaius. Notice what he has to say about a man named Diotrephes in verses 9 and 10. When John writes Gaius saying, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, remember that name, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. I believe Diotrephes is a man who thought too highly of himself. What do you think? Notice the things that were said of him. He loved the preeminence. You know there are folks like that today? They love the preeminence. You know who it is in the church that has the preeminence? Jesus. Paul said that he is the head of the body of the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Not only did he love to have the preeminence, but he received not the apostles. Can you imagine a man not receiving the apostles and forbidding those that would? Here's a man that forbade brethren. He prated against them with malicious words. He cast them out. Diotrephes was a man who thought too highly of himself. And then finally, as you think about some who thought too highly of themselves, you'd have to include the Laodiceans of Revelation 3. Among the letters written to early churches, in Revelation 3 and in verse 15, these words were written to the church of the Laodiceans. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They had a temperature problem. They were just lukewarm. They were lacking in zeal. And notice what they said. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Here's a church that said, we have need of nothing. Can you imagine the Lord's people getting to such a point that they think they don't have need of anything? And actually, they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't see themselves as they were. They didn't see themselves as the Lord saw them. And God pity the day when you and I would ever say, I need nothing. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord. And yet, when folks get to a point where they can say, I have need of nothing, I suggest to you they fall among these groups of people who think too highly of themselves. If there's anything that's needed among the people of God, it's humility. Peter penned these words in 1 Peter 5:5-6. Yea, all of you, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let us not be like those who said, we have need of nothing, or Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence, or Peter, who said, not so, Lord, or the rich man who said, I have kept all the commandments, or the elder brother who said, neither any time have I transgressed thy commandment, or the Pharisee of Luke 18 who did not confess one sin, but said, I thank thee that I'm not as this man or this man or this man. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I hope these words will be on our minds as we go about our week. When Paul said a man ought not think too highly of himself, but to think soberly. Romans 12:1-3. If you've not yet obeyed the gospel, would you humble yourself so as to come to the realization that you sin against God and you're in need of God's grace and help? Would you believe on the Lord with all of your heart? Would you have the humility to say, I've sinned, I've committed wrong, and I want to do better, I want to turn from that, I want to repent? Would you have enough humility to confess with your mouth the faith that was expressed in the words of the Ethiopian treasure? When he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. Would you have enough humility about you to allow us to take you to a place of water and immerse you in the water for the mission of your sins and that you might be added to the church by the Lord? Maybe you've already done that, but you become unfaithful. Maybe you find yourself among those who've been thinking too highly of yourself. Maybe you find yourself in some of these folks. Maybe you get to thinking, I haven't sinned. I don't need anything. And you need to make that right with the Lord. You can do that now while together we stand and sing. Won't you come?